The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Yesterday's government meeting to put in place some form of plan to avoid blackouts this winter points to energy conservation and a potential package of financial supports for Irish households. In a minute, we're going to be talking to political reporter with the Irish Times, Jack Horgan-Jones, and Head of Advocacy and Communications at Age Action, Celine Clark. But before that, our reporter, Aoife Kearns, was out on the streets to find out what people are planning ahead of this winter.
What I'm doing mainly is just, you know, turning off the TV more often, maybe playing on my computer a little bit less.
Well, I live with three teenage daughters, and only last night we were talking about not putting on the immersion heater to have a bath, and not putting on the heat just to heat the house after school because they have to do the homework. They're talking about getting, you know, those over electric blankets and plugging them in. I've started back to college myself, and I could be studying all day from home, so I'm not going to turn on any heat, but going to plug in those electric blankets and just keep them low and wrap them around you. So that's what we've been talking about.
Do you have one of those lovely snoods or snuggies or anything like that?
I don't find them warm. I find the electric blanket is great. The ones, the over electric blanket you call them, and I've also started charging my teenagers a tenner if they leave the lights on and go out of their bedroom.
Before, I used to pay like 35 euro like for 2 months, and now I am paying like 100 euro for 2 months. I might buy some jackets and some more blankets to be more warm at night, you know.
Obvious saving for me is in the living room where we've two lights, and I just put on one at night, so that's a good start anyway. It helps get me focused, but I think as we move into the winter months, then I'll really have to start focusing on where the real savings can be made.
What about heating and things like that? Do you think that you might have that on less?
A lot less, yeah. The woolly jumpers will be on more than ever, I think, definitely. Yeah, that's a big one, yeah.
Hot stew and all the rest?
Very hot. Definitely.
I'll probably try and work from home a good bit. That way I save energy going into town and things like that.
What about heating and things like that? Would you say you might be more likely to switch it off a bit more?
Well, this is Ireland, so I might turn it on a bit more. I don't know.
And would you be concerned now about the price of electricity and so on going up?
Yeah, it's getting a bit crazy at the moment, especially now that the weather's turned. So I'll be keeping an eye on it for sure.
Well, we have a bath in our house, and I suppose that's a luxury item now, filling a bath. So I suppose before I would have had a bath maybe 3 or 4 times a week. Now it's a luxury item and I'll probably only have it once a week, you know? So that'll be my date night and it'll be shared.
Our reporter there, Aoife Kearns, on the streets of Dublin. We're joined now by a political reporter with the Irish Times, Jack Horgan-Jones. Good morning, Jack. Jack, are you there?
I am.
Very good. Jack, to what extent is the government deciding that the energy bills, when they begin to land on people's doorsteps, that what we will see is a significant change in consumer behaviour and that'll make a big contribution to the energy conservation through winter?
I think that's the expectation, but I also think and I suspect that people are to some extent, probably to a large extent, ahead of the government in this regard. I mean, anyone who has got a utility bill really from this spring onwards can't be unaware of the extent to which electricity prices, utility bill prices have been sent through the roof by the invasion of Ukraine by Russia and the impact that's having on at a household level. So really what we're seeing facing into the winter is the government trying to double down on that message, trying to soften us up to an extent for what is coming, which is even higher prices. And what they discussed last night was really a program of very visible interventions, starting with the public sector, focused in on the use of energy in public sector buildings, civil service offices, government departments, right all the way up to government buildings, perhaps even the obelisk on the back lawn of Leinster House not being lit up. And the most eye-catching of all the interventions that they discussed, which would be contained in a memo that goes to Cabinet today, is the idea of limiting the heating temperature temperature in public offices to 19 degrees, and also encouraging more optimal use, I suppose, of those buildings. So, you know, gathering people together on one floor, only heating water or the air between certain times, and overall trying to lead the way and act as a kind of signifier to the rest of society at large as part of this wider campaign to get people to reduce use, particularly between peak hours of 5 and 7. The question, I suppose, is, you know, the political acceptability, the political palatability of this, because as I said at the top, people already know this, and I think that they'll be looking for government to move with intent and purpose to obviously hammer home these behavioural messages, but then to go further come budget time.
And they will be looking for government to put its hands in what seems to be a fairly full pocket and give them assistance.
Yeah, that's true. So last week we got the Exchequer returns for the year to the end of July. And as has been the case, something that we've all gotten used to, the Exchequer is being buoyed by the afterburners of corporate tax. And we're looking at a budget surplus this year of something in the region of 6.7 billion euros. You know, so that obviously gives them increased latitude. It gives them more room for maneuver when it comes to spending on one-off measures. Everyone is probably sick to the back teeth of hearing about what's coming down the line, but it does look like it's getting more significant all the time. It wasn't more than 3 or 4 weeks ago that we were writing about this potential booster package of one-off measures to supplement the budget being in the region of 1 billion. That then began to grow up to 1.5 billion. And as we report in the Irish Times this morning, it's now looking like it may come in at 2 billion or even a little bit more. And underpinning all of that, I think, is a recognition at government level that, you know, the energy crisis and the cost of living and the size of utility bills that are going to be landing on doormats up and down the country from really this month onwards is the kind of prime political and policy challenge that they're going to face in the next 6 or 8 months. And it's one of those things that is moving from, you know, the usual kind of level of political crisis, if you want to term it like that, into something that is more like a kind of mass mobilization of society towards a single policy goal, not quite at the same level that we saw when we were trying to suppress the virus during the pandemic, but something approaching that. So that's why I think that we're beginning to see messaging from government along the lines that we saw last night, and we should expect to see them doubling down on that and expect to see also a commensurate commitment come budget time.
Céline Clark is with us as well. She's Head of Advocacy and Communications with Ajax. And good morning, Céline.
Good morning.
To some extent, the energy crisis and the increase in energy costs is but one part of a trifecta facing people as the winter rolls in, because that energy cost increase will feed into grocery costs, it'll feed into retail costs, and at the same time as the general cost of living is increasing, inflation means that people's purchasing power is decreasing at a commensurate level. For people on the margins, particularly elderly people who may be on fixed incomes, this could be a very daunting winter, couldn't it?
Exactly. So Aid Action has examined the likely loss of the spending power in 2022, and it's shocking. Over the course of 2022, the spending power on the full rate of the state pension alone will go down by about €590 for an individual and €1,100 for a couple. So these people are stuck on a fixed income, depending on the government at budget time to decide what their income will be next year. We in Age Action have asked the government to look at €23 increase in the state pension, and that's to make up the lost spending power that they have seen in this year alone, and that's only to stand still. And then, as you said, when you look at then the increase in energy costs, we already know that older people are particularly vulnerable there, because 9 in 10 of older persons rely on fossil fuels for home heating. And as Jack said, many of the public are already ahead of the government in changing their behaviour. Age Action's pre-budget survey of older persons showed that about 27% are going without heating, and this was in May. about 38% were taking fewer journeys, so they can't afford to use their car. And of course, for people in rural areas, that's a particularly difficult situation because they don't have the same access to public transport that people in the cities do as well. So we also know, though, that unfortunately in 2021, like the 2021 figures alone, showed us that the consistent poverty rate for people over the age of 66 rose by 250%. And what that essentially means is that some people are unable to put a protein-rich meal on the table every second day. So they can't eat fish or meat every second day because they can't afford it. So some people are in a really dire situation. They don't have the ability to make up any more income. They can't ask for a raise or extra shifts. They can't find a way to make up the money. So they are really reliant on the social welfare system to support them. And unfortunately, measures like the fuel allowance are brilliant for those that are in that safety net. But unfortunately, 2/3 of people over the age of 66 are not in that safety net. So when we see an increase or a change in eligibility for the fuel allowance, it's insufficient to meet the majority needs of the many older persons. And we've put forward an idea called an energy guarantee that will be a sustainable measure for older persons who live in maybe the lower energy rated homes. We estimate that about 300,000 of the lowest energy rated homes are occupied by older persons. So they're never getting a heat pump. They are going to be dependent and locked into fossil fuels. So they need something that is going to support them sustainably for many years. And that's beyond this current energy crisis.
Céline, have you any concerns that the measures that you are seeking in respect of the state pension may dilute the available resources for those most in need? Because obviously some, maybe few, but some recipients of the state pension may be sufficiently well off from other sources that they don't need a top-up.
Well, the state pension is generally recognised as the bedrock of the social welfare system. And we know that actually 2/3 of people receive the full rate of the state pension. So there's a group of people there that don't qualify for the full rate of the state pension. But anything less than an increase of €23 in the state pension is a political choice to cut the living standards of those that are on fixed incomes. It's not an economic necessity. As Jack pointed out, there's plenty of money available to the state. There is not plenty of money available to older persons who are dependent on the state pension, social welfare, to keep their homes and themselves safe.
Céline, thank you very much. That is Céline Clark, who is Head of Advocacy and Communications with Age Action, and before her, Jack Horgan-Jones, who is political reporter with the Irish Times.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.